Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
This is the Freddie and Harry Podcast on ESPN Radio.
And welcome to the best show on your radio. You know it better as the Afternoon Hustle called Freddie and Harry with Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman on the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And I'll tell you, smart speaker, they'll play ESPN Radio. Still plenty of conversation about what happened at the end of the game involving the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders. Plenty of people getting on Stevenson, the cornerback, for not paying attention, taunting the fans. And then he had a chance to get into the play. He tips the ball. Noah Brown takes into the end zone off the tip. The Commanders had an improbable victory. I can't wait to get the thoughts of a man who's been a head coach, a defensive coordinator in the NFL, and now he's a defensive coordinator for the D.C. Defenders in the UFL. He is Greg Williams. Always great to have him here joining us on Freddie and Harry. Coach Williams, before we get to that, you had to deal with Harry Douglas on the sidelines of UFL games. How have you been able to survive that and not have to go to your Lord and Savior and say, please take me away from Harry Douglas on the sidelines each and every year?
You know what? I got a great big smile on my face. You guys do such a great job, and Harry does too. And you know what? And when I'm probably at my best is when I'm pissed off the most, and Harry does a good job of pissing me off.
But that's the one thing I love about the league because, you know, and I wish the NFL would do more of this and really lean into it, is being able to interview these coaches and players on the sidelines, because you actually get to see the transparency and things that coaches go through right on the fly, right then and there, and players as well, whether it's good or bad, coach. So I think it's pretty cool, honestly, too.
I do too, you know what, and I think it's great, and it's outstanding for the fans, and that's what we're doing. We need to make sure the fans are included in everything that we can, and you guys do a great job with that.
And, Coach, I want to ask you this because you have coached at the highest level. As a head coach, defensive coordinator, you've been there, you've done it, right? Take us through the mind of a defensive coordinator when you know the only hope for an opposing team is a Hail Mary attempt. What is the right way to defend that Hail Mary?
Well, Harry, I appreciate you asking me that, and it goes back to really after I left Buffalo as a head coach, and things were starting to do more of these type of situational type things in the league with the Hail Marys and everything. I developed a last three plays of the first half when you're really defending a field goal or a touchdown, but mainly the field goal situations, and then the last three plays of a game, and are you defending a field goal or are you defending a touchdown to win the game? And so when we do this type of stuff, it also has to do with how many timeouts you have left, all that type of stuff. Well, look, you know, the Commanders had, you know, there's no timeouts left. And the most glaring mistake that took place even before the last play was the second to the last play when they had no timeouts. There's no way that Jaden can throw the ball from the line of scrimmage from the pocket that deep on the last play of the game to get it into a potential Hail Mary, you know, in the end zone type throw. And what you have to do on that next to the last play is defend the sideline. The three-man rush, and I have what's called a trap coverage. It's a zone-type, posture-type thing of where we're defending the sidelines. And really, and I don't want to give up too much information, but we trick you into making a throw to get out of bounds so that we can steal it for an interception. And there's some, you know, there's some tricks about the coverage that what we're doing. And the fact that they did not defend the sideline, you can see Matt Eberflus running down the sideline and hollering, you know, about, you know, coming down and not giving up that much time and distance, okay, to get them into a Hail Mary situation. They had no timeouts. There wasn't even enough time on the clock for them to run up and clock the ball to keep it, you know, in play so that now they could actually take a Hail Mary. And then, you know, when it came down to the last play now with the clock stopped, they're going, you know, they had the goofball one corner running around taunting the fans and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and then he comes back in and makes the, you know, the stupid batting of the ball and you know, it goes into the hands of the other team to lose the game. And I've already said this on several shows today, is that I'd be cutting in the very next day. Okay, in the meeting in front of everybody, so they'd understand this. I say what I mean. I mean what I say. This is a team game. This is not an individual, socially entitled, look at me, look at me, look at me kind of a game. That particular play, because even once the Hail Mary is thrown, okay, if you have enough time, and I'll go into that too, if you have enough time, we have one guy spiking, and then we have the other guys playing basketball and screening and putting your body in between any potential tip so it can be batted down. But you don't have multiple guys jumping at the ball and not defending the rest of the offensive guys. And Harry, you played receiver. Those guys are getting in position for deflections to get ready to catch the batted passes. It's just a poorly, poorly executed play. And then the final thing, you know, being, part of the Buddy Ryan tree, coaching tree, I developed many years ago, and I've got, 28 to 30 snaps, since the early 2000s of, we don't give you enough time, to throw that pass. We're going to bring five or a six-man collapse the pocket rush. And Buddy Ryan taught me a long time ago, okay, and back in those days, is that why do we give this guy enough chance, 5-6 seconds to where that we can throw the ball on the field? We're going to get it out of the hand right now. They're going to have to start doing the hook and lateral type play against us, because we're not going to let you throw the ball or have enough time in the pocket. And in fact, I think there was one game back in the old days, was playing against Cincinnati where we had two or three sacks. I think we had one sack at the end of the first half and two sacks at the end of the game, three sacks on Carson Palmer on three different times on the last one play of the game that we got him all in one game. So I just shake my head, and some of the special situations and the situational awareness that's going on in the league right now just makes me want to puke.
Yeah, number one, situational football is a thing, and I'm thankful enough to be able to have played for coaches that made it a point of emphasis every time they had a chance. Number two, Coach, there's one more component to it I want you to kind of break down too. Early in my years in Atlanta, in those type of situations, we would have a wide receiver in Brian Finneran, who was 6'6", who would go back deep. You take one defensive player out. And then when we had Julio would do that when we're in those situations. Talk about that, because I think the Bears have a guy in Romo Dunze. Even though he's a rookie, he's 6'3", he's a jump ball guy. He can go up and, do what you do and need him to do in those situations. Talk about them making a mistake in that department as well.
No doubt about it. And as personnel, back in the days when I was with the Saints, I had Jimmy Graham, a great basketball player, 6'6" and a half. He was our spiker. I substituted him in for a safety position, took a short guy, took a midget out, put the big guy out there. Okay. And now he was the only one that was allowed to spike the ball down, and everybody else is playing a rebounding screener, and you're screening, putting your body in position between the opponent and what potential ball that could be batted. And then I had Jimmy Graham, we work with a volleyball on actually spiking the ball. It's not about catching the ball. If you catch the ball, I'm going to kick you in a place that's not very nice for you to have it in between your legs, and you're not going to like the way I kick you between the legs because you didn't spike the ball the way I wanted to spike. The other thing is, I started to say, is we do these last three plays of the first half and of the second half. It's in a practice period. It's the final practice period every Friday when we have a Sunday game, but it's the last padded practice we have. We do these plays live every single week. And we draw up all kinds of things if you have shown us what your concepts are as the opponent, we'll do that. If they haven't, I challenge our schematic things to make sure and put challengeable things. So every week these guys in practice have to play potential plays and know how we're going to win this game. When it comes down to the last play of the game, OK, okay? And, you know, and basically what we do is that we, and when we bring the house up front and have all of our other position, players in position, we're looking to walk off with a spike and a win, and it's a team win, not an individual look at me, look at me, look at me kind of play.
A man who coached in the NFL as a head coach, defensive coordinator, now the defensive coordinator for the D.C. Defenders in the UFL. He is Greg Williams joining us here in Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. Real quick, Coach, when you look at defense in the NFL, what's that one defense out there that you've seen you say to yourself, if I could coach that defense, that would be all right by me?
You know, I think that there's a lot of still a lot of really good teams out there, you know, doing it. And I love, you know, right now is – and with Harry and all you guys, you know, I love, you know, I've coached, had the blessing of coaching over 2,500 NFL athletes, you know, in all the almost 40 years that I coach in NFL, and over 1,000 of them call me on Father's Day or text me. I must not be as big a prick as everybody says I am. and if I don't take the call or the text, then they get on a podcast the next day and say they're all up for adoption. He hasn't, evidently, he's not our dad. You know, he's not, you know, texting us and calling us back. But I love, you know, those four players that I coached and what's going on up at Detroit right now. I love the fact of how, you know, Dan Campbell and those guys are establishing an attitude and a presence. And I love, you know, how they're playing. They've done a very good job of adding to the defense and making sure that the secondary got better up there this year. But then the other thing that I love doing, and really the only one that really does as much of team 11-man disguises as I've always done in the NFL, is I love what Brian Flores is doing at the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. And the things that he does to try to make sure that the quarterback has to make the decision of what the defense might be playing post-snap, not pre-snap. And and I've been doing that for a long, long, long time, and I think Brian's doing a very good job there. So I enjoy studying all that stuff every single week, and you know, love being inside the white lines. But now I've moved over to the dark side, like you guys now, and I'm doing media. So all this kind of stuff here is been fun for me to do too.
Coach, one last one I want to ask you. I want to ask you about, you know, the job that Jeff Ulbrich has to do because he is an interim head coach. You've been in that role. Take us through the mind of some of the things that he's probably going through with the Jets organization right then, with them letting go Robert Saleh. But Coach Ulbrich is now in that interim role as a head coach.
Well, it's a head-scratcher to me. I can't believe that they let Robert go because I think that he's done a very, very good job. And the second thing is, because Jeff has not had any experience ever of being a head coach, is that in order and in continuing to call the defensive plays. You know, I tried to do that a lot my first time, you know, being a head coach, and I learned that, you know, especially, you know, when I took over here at Cleveland, you know, in those last eight games. You can't do all. You can't be a situational understander and all the different kind of things that has to be done, you know, to lead your entire team, is that you got the headset on. Why do you think that you have to be able to call every play? You know, it's going to have to come through you anyway. You can help insert certain things, but you're keeping people aware of situational awareness, time on the clock. You know, one of the things that Cleveland did a much better job of this week when Kevin, because I think Kevin Stefanski is a really good coach. I really do like, you know, him. But all of a sudden now, because he's not calling the offensive plays and Ken Dorsey is, Ken was getting the play into the quarterback's helmet earlier, okay? And I want to see the offense break the huddle between 21 and 18 seconds on the play clock and now get up on the line of scrimmage and be able to dictate to the defense maybe to tip the disguise they're doing. And then the other thing is have enough time to where you can now slow things down as a quarterback, and all the pre-snap stupid-ass penalties that go on shifting and motion and all that kind of stuff is, when you see it happen, stop. Reset. Stop the shift. And all of a sudden you can do that as a quarterback when you have more time on the clock. You know, I see Jeff battling that, you know, with you know, the things that he's trying to do there on being able to call the plays and control all the situational awareness. And it's, you know, it needs to slow down, and the only way it can slow down is not having too much on your own plate to be able to do your job as the head coach.
Hey, Greg, great stuff by you, my friend. We love the honesty. We love the candor and the entertaining fashion you bring to the table. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for so much for joining us on Freddie and Harry, my man.
Hey, I appreciate that. I'd love to come back on again. And remember this, never ask me a question that I might hurt your feelings. It's your fault. It's not mine.
Thank you so much, Greg. Greg Williams, former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator, now defensive coordinator for the D.C. Defenders. Great stuff by him joining us here on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is helping to drive veterans' lives forward, courtesy of the Keys to Progress program.
Is it a good take?
That's good. Great.
Or a hot take?
How hot? Red hot.
Find out now.
So there are plenty of people out there that have plenty of things to say, and that we have a chance to say and speak on that when it comes to them. That's what good take, hot take is all about. So we're going to start with Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst on Get Up, where, you know, Devin Kane, I'll have you take the honors on this one.
Yeah. What? Did something happen with the Jets this weekend?
A little bit.
All right, Damian Woody talks about
every
it.
Weekend.
The Aaron Rodgers era is over. It's officially over with the New York Jets. This team is worse this year than with Zach Wilson last year playing the quarterback position. I'm just going to echo the point that I made last week about this team. They're not. They're just a roster. They're not a team. They're a bunch of hired mercenaries out there that have popular names on the back of their jersey, but they don't play as a team. And it's about time for everyone over at One Just Drive to understand it's time to blow this thing up because it's over.
All right, Harry, good take or hot take?
Great take. Great take, great take, great take. You can bring as many guys in as you want to, but if they're not going to play in unison as a team, if they're not going to have each other's backs, if they're not going to be disciplined, then it's not going to matter. That's why you see the Jets right now at 2-6 through 8 games, and they look worse than they did a season ago.
Completely, because yesterday I said, unless they make the playoffs this year, if you're going to have a new head coach next year and you're going to, you should have a new quarterback comes Aaron Rodgers. At a certain point, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to jump into the hot tub time machine and being Aaron Rodgers from 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, man, that's just a fool's errand. If I'm the New York Jets, once the season is done, you should be done with when it comes to the coaching staff and Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback.
All right, next up. We're 1 week into the NBA season, so the takes are already flying. Here's a take from Kendrick Perkins.
When it comes down to the Phoenix Suns, they're actually my dark horse to win it all. They check all boxes. They upgraded at the point guard position, the big man position. Obviously, you got Nurkic and Plumlee who's going to battle for their minutes. I like what Budenholzer does at times by putting Kevin Durant at the five. I think it helps him offensively. Bradley Beal looks 100% healthy. He's playing with a different type of tenacity. We saw what Devin Booker did last night. When it comes down to the Phoenix Suns, they check all the boxes.
Freddie, I'm thinking about this as it's playing.
Uh-huh.
Can you consider the Suns a dark horse
Yeah, you can. Yeah, and it's a good take, and here's why. Because, like Kendrick Perkins mentioned, they upgraded the head coaching position. They upgraded the point guard position. Nobody's talking about this team being a contender for an NBA championship. When you hear about the Western Conference, you hear about the Denver Nuggets. You hear about the Minnesota Timberwolves. You hear about the Oklahoma City Thunder. You hear about the Dallas Mavericks that they got in Klay Thompson. Not a lot of people mention the Phoenix Suns because we saw it happen last year. And everybody said, well, what would happen? They got a point guard. Well, they got that in Tyus Jones and a better head coach who knows how to win a championship when it comes to Mike Budenholzer. So for my money, yeah, you can consider him underrated and a dark horse. And yeah, it's a good take by Perk himself on the Phoenix Suns.
I'm going with hot take. Because I want to see how committed they're going to be for 82 games and also when playoff basketball comes. There's also this thing called health. Can the Phoenix Suns stay healthy for the duration of the 82-game season and also throughout the playoffs? But we do know you're not going to win an NBA championship if you can't buckle down on the defensive end and play defense. Now, this team has an opportunity, in my opinion, to be that dark horse team if they're committed to the defensive side of the ball. I love Tyus Jones. You do not have Devin Booker now trying to bring the ball up and orchestrate the offense. You actually do have a point guard. I like Grayson Allen. We know he led the league last year in three-point field goal percentage, a product of Mr. Harry Douglas III. So I do like the Suns. They just need to be able to play better defense consistently and remain healthy.
Well, they're a lot better defensively in the first three games than they ever were last year. That's what Mike Budenholzer has brought to the table with the Phoenix Suns. Long season ago, but any team with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and a brand-new head coach, I'm thinking they won't be too shabby and maybe a lot better than people could think. He is Harry Douglas. Hit him on Twitter at HDouglas83. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on Twitter at ColemanESPN. It's the Afternoon Hustle, known as Freddie and Harry, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, presented by Progressive Insurance. Should be an out-of-sight matchup potentially this weekend in the National Football League. We got the Green Bay Packers taking on the Detroit Lions. There's a player in that game that have a big impact that you don't know a lot about. We'll bring him to you next.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPOD for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/ESPNPOD and use code ESPNPOD at checkout.
Afternoon Hustle, known as Freddie and Harry. You got Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman together, presented by Progressive Insurance on Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as tune in. And don't forget to tell that smart speaker of yours to play ESPN Radio. It can be very, very tough as a young player to make your way in the National Football League. You got a lot of talented guys on your football team. Well, Jaden Reed of the Green Bay Packers, like, look, I'm him. He's a graduate of Himothy University based on what he's done this year, leading the Packers in receptions and yards. He joins us here. Hit him on Twitter, Jaden Reed 5. He's joining us here on behalf of Call of Duty. Jaden, what has it been like that your Call of Duty this year has been terrific, the season you kind of have with the Green Bay Packers so far?
Man, it's been great so far. You know, Call of Duty, man, it's just, you know, something that I can do a lot of my downtime and, you know, just me being able to be in the Green Bay, even, you know, that also helps me play Call of Duty a lot more than, you know, I usually do. So,
Jaden, I would say this, you know, being a young receiver coming into the league and being able to have a lot of success, some of that is based off on being able to have a quarterback. You guys have one in Jordan Love. He's been fantastic since being the starting quarterback. Talk to me about what is it like playing with a guy you know is going to be able to get you the football, especially in spots where you can be successful.
Man, it's just great, you know, having Jay Love out there. You know, he does a great job distributing the ball, you know, to everybody. And, you know, he's got a lot of playmakers around him, you know, to help himself as well. We got a great running back as well that opened up the pass game for us. So, you know, Jay Love, you know, he's a great leader and he's a great teammate to have, you know, to go out there on Sundays and battle with.
What has it been like, because you've had to play with two quarterbacks, but Malik Willis, he's been terrific stepping in for Jordan Love when he got injured after the first game of the season. He may have to do that again with Jordan Love and that groin injury. Depends what happens this week in practice, Jaden. What has it been like that you've been able to be successful having two different quarterbacks throw you the football?
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to Malik, you know, just coming in and learning the playbook so fast and just building a bond with the teammates in general. He do a great job with that, and I think that helped, you know, out there on Sundays as well. You know, he's a very smart player. He dynamic. He can, you know, make plays with his legs and his arm. So, you know, he's been doing a great job. And I think, you know, he's ready for whatever is thrown at him.
We We're talking to Jaden Reed, Green Bay Packers wide receiver. Now, Jaden, I played in the NFL for 11 years. I was in the wide receiver room with Roddy White, Julio Jones, Devin Hester. And one of the things that we prided ourselves on was having a friendly competition and holding each other accountable. Talk about that wide receiver room that you're in, because you have a lot of guys that can play at a high level. But how do you guys hold each other accountable? What's that friendly competition like on a daily basis?
I feel like it's easy in our room, man. Like, just the brotherhood we got, you know, it's easy for us to hold each other accountable. You know, when we lacking, it's easy for us to tell each other, you know, as brothers, where to pick it up at. So I think we do a great job of that. We all hungry. We all got the same goal. So, you know, we all in it together. So, you know, that's the beauty of our room.
I always thought it was easier, man, when you have guys that are teammates, particularly in the same position room. When you guys are close and you feel like brothers and you do everything together, it's easier to tell the truth to one another if you got to get on somebody or even praise them.
Yep.
And I think that's just a dynamic that I would like to see a lot more across the NFL, where you have these position groups loving one another and really challenging each other to be great. So I'm glad that you guys are able to have that in Green Bay.
No doubt.
So how much of you and Harry Douglas are the same? Because Harry Douglas, 6 feet, a buck 83. You're 5'11", Jaden, a buck 87. How much of Harry Douglas is in Jalen Reed as a Packers wide receiver?
Man, I'm trying to live up to the standard, man. I ain't proved nothing. I ain't proved nowhere near as much as him yet. But I'm trying to hold up to the standard. You know, I'm working for it. So, you know, I'm just stacking my days day by day trying to get there. So,
look, I will tell you, you're a little bit more athletic than I am. You know what I'm saying? They give you the ball in the backfield. They did with me, but I was trying to get on them edges. I ain't want no part of them inside D tackles or nothing like that.
Man, I feel you sometimes, man. Oh, hey.
Look, I do got to bring this up.
Get the ball in my hand. That's all that matters.
True.
I covered you when you was at Michigan State. I don't know if you remember when we did College Game Day at Michigan State. You guys played Michigan.
Yep.
Man, talk about being able to have College Game Day in East Lansing, Michigan for Michigan State. And I know you guys just played Michigan and you lost. Talk about that, too, how you feel some type of way that Michigan State lost to Michigan this season.
Man, you know, I was a little salty about it. You know, that's, you know, a rivalry that'll never die, you know. I'm a bleed green, you know, till I die. So, you know, I'm always, you know, cheering my Sparty. Every time we play the school down the road. And, yeah, it's crazy, man. There's nothing like it. So I'm going to be looking forward to that game every year.
Yeah, you notice he didn't say Michigan. He said the school down the road when it comes to Jaden Reed.
Exactly.
Graduate of Michigan State and now playing for the Green Bay Packers at wide receiver here on Freddie and Harry and ESPN Radio. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. He's joining us on behalf of Call of Duty. Now, there's a rumor going around that Christian Watson, when it comes to playing Call of Duty Black Ops 6 that just came out, there's a rumor going around. I don't know if it was started by Christian Watson or who, Jaden, but that he is the best Black Ops Call of Duty player in the team. So what is your story when it comes to that, Jaden?
I don't know, man. I heard he's pretty good, but I heard Carl Brooks is pretty good too. So I don't know. They might have to have a little friendly battle and, you know, see who can rack up the most kills or whatnot.
I know what I do want to know. Out of everybody on the Green Bay Packers roster.
All right.
Who talks the most trash? Yeah. Who's the loudest? Who talks the most trash? Whether it's practice,
come on,
in the
man.
Game, doesn't
Y'all
matter.
Can guess that one.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm getting to.
Jair Alexander.
You know he went to school, the University of Louisville. That's where I went. That's what we do. We talk noise.
That's what I'm saying. You should have known that one.
But how good is it, though, to be able to have a guy like that to go against every single day? Because I do believe that iron sharpens iron. He's a guy that, you know, has the hips, can get in and out of breaks, understand routes combinations, so you have to be on your P's and Q's at all times.
For sure. It's not even like we could put the athletic ability and the skill aside. Like, Josh is just a real smart player, you know, to be around. And I think, you know, he do a great job of, you know, even – trying to learn from us, you know, as young receivers, you know, when he seeing our breaks and our leverages, he asks what we thinking, just to get in our head. I think that he try to help himself in that way, and we do the same with him. So, you know, just to pick out a DB's brain, you know, just to make us better receivers. So I think we do a great job with that as well.
Yeah, only in his second year in the NFL, but doing big things. It's Jaden Reed, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio here. Thanks to Call of Duty. You're a young man that started Western Michigan. Then with the Michigan State.
Yes, sir.
Packers take you in the second round. You're the leading receiver for this team, and you just turned 24 in April. What has it been like, Jane, with your journey, when you play a Mid-American Conference in that league, go to the Big Ten, and now you're doing this on the big stage in the NFL in your second year with Green Bay?
It just shows you talent is everywhere, man. Starting off in the MAC, just playing in the MAC at Western Michigan, like, I've seen a lot of talented guys that, you know, did make it to the league that, you know, I still believe is talented enough to play in this league. So, talent is everywhere. You know, they just gonna find you. You just got to put it on tape and, you know, move the right way and everything else, and your journey gonna come to light. So
this next question, I had to make sure I worded it the right way because I don't want you to jump on me now.
Uh-oh.
You know, you got a big game this weekend versus the Detroit Lions. Based off record-wise, from the record, they're the best team in the NFC Conference right now because they're 6-1. Talk about that matchup in that game versus the Detroit Lions, a team that you guys split with last season.
Yeah, that's going to be a great matchup, man. They play very physical down there. You know, you could tell they got a winning environment going on, great coaching going on over there. You know, they got some great players too, but, you know, we also match up the same way. You know, we got a winning mindset over here. We got great coaches and players. It's definitely going to be a four-quarter game, so I'm looking forward to it.
Think about the second-round receivers the Green Bay Packers have drafted over the years. Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and now Jaden Reed leading this team in receptions and yards. He is ready for a big-time match when his Packers take on the Detroit Lions. He was here on behalf of Call of Duty and a great follow on Twitter when it comes to Jaden Reed 5. Hey, Jaden, keep on doing your thing, my friend. Continued success. Good luck this week versus the Lions, and take care and be well, my man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
We appreciate him as well. Jaden Reed, the Green Bay Packers, was our player check-in, and player check-in is brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. So visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. With Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman together on Freddie and Harry, presented by Progressive Insurance. And Basketball Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade defended that statue, honoring him outside the Miami Heat arena like this.
When sitting down with the Miami Heat and myself, what we wanted to do is we wanted to capture a moment.
And what he said after that could lead you shaking your head, like when you look at that statue. Keep it here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today, Shopify.com/network.
Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
He's Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman together in the Afternoon Hustle, known as Freddie and Harry, presented by Progressive Insurance on Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't forget about us on TuneIn. Always tell that smart speaker of yours to play ESPN Radio. It is the statue that has been seen everywhere. People can't unsee it. When it comes to Dwayne Wade being honored by the Miami Heat, they unveiled the statue yesterday, and all hell has broken loose. Believe me, if you haven't seen it, just Google it. Many people look at that statue and they say, that looks absolutely nothing like Dwayne Wade, the Basketball Hall of Famer. Even Dwayne Wade, there's a meme out there in which he and his son are sitting next to each other, and he's looking at the statue, and he's shaking his head from side to side and look like not in a good way, and his son says something, and his son is laughing with him and at his dear old dad. Check out Dwayne Wade defended his statue in terms of wanting to make the moment happen.
When sitting down with the Miami Heat and myself, what we wanted to do is we wanted to capture a moment that represented the organization, represented myself, and represented the city. Felt like we captured that moment in an artistic form, an artistic way. If I wanted to look like me, I'd just stand outside the arena, y'all, and take photos. You don't need to look like me. It's an artistic version of a moment that happened that we're trying to cement. I'm just, you know, my family and I just woke up today still in disbelief that we were chosen, that I was chosen.
No, you're in disbelief that the statue doesn't look like you, Dwayne Wade. That's the point of having a statue. So people can walk by that statue and it actually looks like you. Now, I can understand. I think the moment is when he jumped up on the desk in Chicago, right, basically yelling, this is my house. Mm-hmm. But the face doesn't look like Dwayne Wade when he jumped up on that desk and said, this is my house.
Right.
You can
right.
Listen, he can make all these comments he wants to make. I think when you're capturing a moment that best describes Dwayne Wade, I think the most important thing is that the face of the statue looks like Dwayne Wade mm-hmm. in the moment being captured.
Because I've seen other statues that have been able to be unveiled. For example, Pudge Rodriguez has a statue outside the Texas Rangers. It looks exactly like Pudge Rodriguez. The late, great Kobe Bryant got the statue outside of the Staples Center with the Los Angeles Lakers, his daughter Gianni. Looks exactly like the late Kobe Bryant, his beautiful late daughter. It's a replica. I know Dwayne Wade has to defend it now because apparently he doesn't either want it taken down, he doesn't want to be redone. He's got to stand behind exactly why the moment that he was trying to capture. But I'm not an art critic, not trying to play one on national radio, but I don't think you have something that doesn't look like you, like Picasso painted it or sculpted it when it comes to that.
Well, it's the simple fact that he said it doesn't have to look like me, which lets us all know that you know it doesn't look like you.
Uh-huh.
Which is defeating the purpose of having a statue.
Right.
That's supposed to look like you.
But I love the way he tried to explain it. But for those who didn't hear it, Dwayne Wade tried to explain the statue and the blowback comedy, whatever it is, by saying about the moment and about it doesn't have to look like him. Hear that again.
When sitting down with the Miami Heat and myself, what we wanted to do is we wanted to capture a moment that represented the organization, represented myself, and represented the city.
Sure.
Felt like we captured that moment in an artistic form, an artistic way.
All right.
If I wanted to look like me, I'd just stand outside the arena, y'all, and take photos.
See, right there. No, that's not what statues are supposed to do. You in place a statue don't look like you.
No.
You're not the community ambassador for the Miami Heat, welcoming people in and taking pictures and shaking hands and all that kind of thing. If they're going to put a statue of what many people believe and will go down in history as the greatest Miami Heat player, nothing against LeBron. No, it's Dwayne Wade. He got that whole thing started, the Miami Heat, along Pat Riley. They named the court after Pat Riley. They put a statue outside the arena based on you, what you were able to do. But, brother, you're married to a starlet. And when it comes to Gabrielle Union, there's no way that they put a statue outside someone for Gabrielle Union and it didn't look like her, that she was going to say, we wanted to capture the moment. It doesn't have to look like me. Dwayne Wade, come on now. Come
on. Here's the thing, though, Freddie. When you think about Miami, and listen, I have a lot of family that lives down in that area. When you talk about the Miami Heat, the first thing they think about is Dwayne Wade.
Absolutely.
Wade County, 305, three-time NBA champion, won one before LeBron got there. The statue needs to look like you, D-Wade. It needs to look like you.
I have a question.
Yes, you do. What's the question?
A lot of people are saying it needs to be redone. My thing is, if you have this big ceremony with presentations, Dwayne Wade talking about it, and he's since defended the how it looks, can you really go back in the lab, for lack of a better term, and redo this, even though he said he likes it and you did a whole presentation? Do you really, like, in the middle of the night, have to sneak out and make sure no one can see you take the statue, and then the next day, hopefully it's better?
It has to be redone. Yeah. If it's me personally, I need that statue to look exactly like I look.
Well, yeah. By the way, Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman together, and Freddie and Harry and ESPN Radio. Here's two things I have with that. Number one, did he not see the statue before they unveiled it? Because, and this is just me spitballing, if he had seen that statue before it was unveiled, there's no way he's saying, oh, yeah, let's put that out there when it doesn't look like me. To your point, Devin and
Time
Harry.
Time out. We got
to
push the date back. Absolutely. We got to push the date back.
Yeah, believe me, Dwayne Wade he's a prideful man in a good way, not a bad way. There's no way. You're not too vanity enough to say, hey, redo that. That doesn't look like me, because they're going to want to make sure that the subject is going to be happy.
You want to know also why, though, Freddie?
Why?
Because everything that he's meant to that city,
yeah,
he's earned that right.
Right.
He's earned that right.
Right. You don't want people looking up your statue and they're going, that Dwayne Wade? That doesn't look like him. He's already getting clowned on social media. Somebody said that he looks like from The Wiz, the tin man that Nipsey Russell played. That's how they're playing him. So that's number one. And number two, the fact that your own son was sitting next to you looking and said, hey, Dad, wow, that doesn't look like you. And all you can do is just shake your head from side to side. Tells me all I need to know that, well, he's like, this is what we have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go with that and go with God.
I don't know what goes into redoing statues, but do you think they could just take the head off and then reattach it with a new head? Or is that going to mess up the whole thing? Do they need to redo all of the statue? What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I'm not the only one looking at you that way.
I'm not saying keep it out without a head. I'm saying take the whole thing back. No, take the head off.
No, we know that part. I got that part. But come on. What are we doing? Collages here?
I mean, listen, if you're asking me, I think we just should be done with statues. Let's get a digital screen out there that Dwayne Wade can come on and be like, hey, I'm Dwayne Wade. Here's where my statue would have been.
Nah.
Like a hologram?
Nah.
I'm old school.
Holograms would be great.
I'm old school. I like the statues.
Yeah. Now, you got to embrace the future, man.
You can embrace the future. Have a statue outside an arena that looks like you embracing the future.
Well, you're right. You can embrace the future. I listen to him all the time, all his music. You're right. We can embrace the future. The damn artist.
I mean, I'm all for not being stuck in the past, but you represent what that organization has been, and the statue should look like you. It shouldn't look like somebody else, which is literally what it looks like.
I know.
Should have been the Heatles. Should have been all three of them.
Nah, you can't have a statue of LeBron James
out in front
of there.
How could
you put Tony Douglas out there too?
How could you dare disrespect?
Put your brother out there.
I don't even
say
even my brother. Like, listen, Dwayne Wade, what he meant to that organization, and you stop that right now, brother.
He is trolling you, isn't he?
But I will say this: I do miss those days of being able to go down into Miami when they were the Heatles.
Yeah.
Oh,
what would you do?
I can only go down there and make sure I preach the gospel to the guys, make sure they was doing the right thing, like Spike Lee said.
You really want your house to be on fire when lightning strikes you down, don't you?
No, I'm in my word.
You're in the word, all right, but not the word you try to convince us of. Our selection committee will get into the sounds of sport, and I guarantee you that you should not bring your kids. It's Harry Douglas and Freddie Cohen together, Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.